Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. And today, our guest Aiden is joining us all the way from Australia. So welcome, Aiden. We're excited to have you.
Yeah, nice to meet you guys. And thanks for having me on. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be fun. I thought ticks were only on the East Coast in the United States, but they're in Australia as well.
Well, I don't know for sure, but I tested positive for Lyme. And
oh, he's just trying to pull a joke on you. We talk about it because people, you know, unless you live in Lyme, Connecticut, you can't possibly have Lyme because ticks don't travel outside of Lyme.
No, that's the only place. Yeah. And maybe in the Black Forest in Germany as well. I mean, I'm not sure. So tell me a little bit about your story. I mean, so where did it all start? I mean, when did you start to kind of wonder what was going on?
Well, I had a pretty good childhood. When I was in my child, I was sort of fine. I didn't really have any of these symptoms. Around the time I was 13, I moved to a high school. And it was sort of a traumatic move because none of my friends were at the new school that I had at primary school. So I moved and ended up developing all sorts of mental health issues and chronic pain, back pain, brain fog, all that type of stuff. And basically that's where it started.
And this was just kind of right after you moved school. I mean, obviously as a 13-year-old, new environment, you know, all your old friends, you know, you don't connect with them anymore. You know, it's kind of right after that that all the symptoms started.
Yeah. Also, some loved ones sort of died around that time as well. So it was like a bit of a traumatic event. That's basically when the pain started. But it took quite a few years following that to actually find out what was going on or get any answers. So,
right. Yeah. And we hear that a lot with people, that it can actually take some type of physical or emotional trauma for it to kind of trigger the Lyme in you. So like, I think a lot of people are walking around with Lyme disease, but their body's been able to, you know, keep it at bay and they don't, you know, have any symptoms. And then you throw in, you know, as Dr. K mentioned, changing schools at that age, that is huge. And, you know, losing your friend connection and then the loss of a loved one, like that's a lot. And that's probably, my guess, is kind of what brought it out in you.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So you're starting them with body pain and can you kind of tell us a little bit of the progression and how it impacted you? I mean, were you able to still go to school or, what took place?
I was still able to go to school, but I would be very irritable and not really myself and very sensitive to things like, you know, typing or writing or, it was mostly chronic pain with me, mostly just having pain in my joints and muscles and back and stuff like that, and also mental health sort of stuff. But I definitely see that as an important aspect, like, because I was very focused on the physical side of it for a long time. And I think the mental health side is just as important, you know. to resolve that as well. Because if you're not in a good headspace, it's going to struggle to get better from the actual infection. And it is a real infection, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're a big deal. So when you say kind of your mental headspace, I mean, what did that mean? I mean, is it like panic attacks, anxiety, depression, not able to think?
Mostly anxiety and depression, or you know, inability to think clearly, and like, I guess, sort of autism type symptoms or stuff like that, you know. But yeah, it was mostly anxiety and depression and stuff like that.
And that's a lot to deal with. And I think you nailed it spot on when you said, you know, not only do we have to battle this and kill the Lyme and, you know, everything that's going on with us, but the mental aspect of it is huge. I think that you have to work your way through that. And, you know, sometimes we can do it along our journey. And then sometimes, you know, people are all better. They're health-wise, they're good. But their mental state is still just really messed up. And it's not surprising because, you know, for many of us and the listeners, you know, we've lost a lot of years to this disease. And it really takes a toll on us emotionally and messes with us. So I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's a huge part of our healing process.
Yeah.
And so kind of, I mean, how did your parents respond? I mean, how did they try to figure this out? Because this, I mean, obviously having your 13-year-old boy and then all of a sudden, yeah, you know, they're in extreme pain and they can't think. They're depressed, anxious, and then you mentioned kind of like autistic behaviors a little bit. How did they respond to that? I mean, what did they do?
Well, initially they were taking me sort of to therapists and stuff, which I was not open to, but I'm more open to it now. But at the time I wasn't, and I was sort of not interested in going because I was so focused on the physical side of it and knew there was something wrong physically with me and wanted to find out what it was, you know, because I just felt crap all the time, just fatigued and in pain all the time. And it sort of got worse over time, like it built up in my body over a period of years. So I basically, eventually, around the time I was 15, I started exercising very heavily, like becoming obsessed with exercise and stuff like that, because basically I found it helped me. That was one of the things I found that helped, was intensely exercising. And I used to do interval training and stuff like that on like a bike stand and stuff, and I found that helped a lot. Seemed to get rid of the inflammation and a lot of the pain and make me feel better, which is weird because a lot of people, that exercise makes it worse, but for me it didn't.
That's interesting. So after these kind of intense exercises, I mean, a lot of people then dealing with Lyme, if they push themselves, then they're just down for like a week after. So how did you feel like the day after these intense exercise?
I would feel great. I would feel much, much better. I felt like I sweated out all the stuff and it would make me feel a lot better. I mean, I think it was probably just pushing myself too hard. But I found it helped at the time. The only way I could control sort of the negative feelings I had or the pain in my body was to intensely exercise at the time. So,
well, good for you being so young and figuring that out. I mean, I didn't have the energy to take a shower by myself. And so let alone to do a strenuous workout. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. But that was long before I knew what it was or had any diagnosis or anything.
And how did that impact your kind of mental state? I mean, that seemed to help there as well.
Yeah, it did. It helped with my sleep and helped with my mental state. And yeah, I also, I found it became a bit obsessive though, like the whole exercise thing. But this was obviously before I knew I had Lyme disease or had any answers. So I was just sort of trying what I felt worked at the time. But around that time, I started seeing a lot of specialists and sort of went through the merry-go-round that people go through of seeing everybody, because I was trying to find out what the pain was caused by. My parents spent a lot of money on that, trying to send me to different people. I saw pain specialists and, you know, every type of doctor I've probably seen them, trying to find out, you know, what was causing the problem.
And what were some of the diagnoses that they were throwing at you?
Well, initially they sort of were saying that it was, sort of psychological or in my head, which I'm more open not to it now, not saying it's in my head, but that there's a metaphysical sort of aspect to it, you know, or an emotional aspect to some of the pains I had. But yeah, some of the diagnoses they did. First one we looked at was sort of the fibromyalgia thing, mm-hmm. or chronic fatigue, which is not exactly Lyme disease, but it's, you know,
it's a
kind of similar.
Yeah, it's a similar. Yeah. It's a symptom of Lyme disease. Yeah. So
yeah,
but it can be a symptom of a lot of different pathogens, but definitely Lyme disease, I think, is a big driver for both of those.
And those are our typical diagnoses, is, you know, you're either depressed or you have fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue. Like, that's just kind of, it's almost anymore, I feel like, telling people, hey, if you ever get diagnosed with fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue, you really have Lyme disease. Yeah. Like, it makes me feel like I want to say that to people, because we all get that diagnosis.
Yeah, I mean, I watched some thing on Netflix called Afflicted, which was I don't know if you've seen it. It's about chronic illness, but a lot of the people on there ended up getting positive for Lyme, and they had all sorts of things. So it's, fairly common with these type of symptoms. You know, it's a fairly common sort of set of symptoms or a specific presentation that goes along with the Lyme disease thing, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually end up having a bullseye rash or remember getting bit by a tick. But I remember having sort of the pain that moved around my body and stuff like that. But I'm in Australia and they don't actually recognize Lyme disease in Australia. So like I think in the US, the CDC says it's 2 weeks of antibiotics or something, and then you're cured, and they don't do the cold chronic Lyme thing. But a lot of people have that. So it's a bit better in the US because they actually recognize it. Here, they don't even think the tick with the bacteria is in Australia. So, there's a whole, I went to support groups with people and stuff, and there's only one Lyme literate doctor in the state of Australia that I'm in, which is Western Australia. There's only one Lyme literate doctor in the whole thing. So it takes months to get in, and everyone's seeing this one guy basically.
I'm just curious, in Australia, then, the support groups, are there a lot of people then battling Lyme? I mean, obviously it's not recognized in Australia, but there you are. So are there a lot of people that are battling Lyme that you are seeing, you know, on these support groups in Australia?
Yeah, there are. There's lots of people. Yeah. Some of them are even in wheelchairs and stuff like that. And they don't get recognition. They just say it's sort of all in their head or all a mental health thing, and they won't treat them. Or they can get treated, but they have to go to a Lyme literate doctor, which is the one guy that's there, and then they do antibiotics and stuff like that. So
wow. So yeah. So I guess for all the listeners that are in the US, we thought we had it bad. Sounds like you guys are really rough over there. And yeah, you're right. The CDC definitely doesn't recognize chronic Lyme disease. And unfortunately, I think more people suffer from chronic Lyme disease than just initial Lyme disease, because it takes us so long to get our diagnosis that by the time we do, we're chronic now. So
yeah, well, I think in Australia, the thing, it's improved, so there's more stuff around now to recognize it. I think when I had it, it wasn't recognized back when in around the time I had struggled with it.
Okay.
So things have improved. There's a lot more support around it now. But back around like 2014 or 2013, when I had this, it
I was just going to ask you back when it was. So about 10 years ago. Okay. Yeah. And things
so
here
it's getting there, but it's come a long ways.
Yes. Come a long ways here as well. But in our eyes, not fast enough. Right.
Yeah.
So your parents are taking you to all these different doctors and specialists, and was it ever on your radar that it was Lyme disease, or what type of doctor and where did you go to finally get your diagnosis?
Well, I looked up Lyme disease online just because I wanted to see. I started thinking it might be a possible diagnosis for what I had. So,
and why did you think that? Did you know something about Lyme disease? Had you heard of it before?
I'd heard of it, I think, but I didn't know. Yeah, I basically had exhausted all other avenues of finding out what my problem was. So,
I just asked because I know a lot of people have never even heard the term, and when I found out, I thought it was just something that dogs got. You know, I know you take them to get that, you know, their tick and their flea and all of that stuff. But I thought Lyme disease was something that the animals got, not humans. So that was quite shocking for me. Sounds silly, but it's the truth. You know, it's reality. We're not educated enough on it. So, okay. So you started doing some digging and you probably pull it up and you're like, hey, this describes me to a T.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so then did you guys search out the Lyme doctor, or did you maybe go to your primary, or where did you go
well,
from there?
I tried a few things. One thing I did, which helped, was something called craniosacral massage therapy.
Yes.
My mum found someone who does this, and I found that helped a lot. It got rid of a lot of the sensitivity. Like, my nerves are very sensitive, so it got rid of a lot of that type of stuff.
I've heard a lot of great things about cranial sacra.
Yeah, and I was still seeing different doctors at the time, different GPs, a lot of whom didn't sort of believe in the Lyme thing, but and then I ended up going to this Lyme literate doctor, which I think took, I can't remember now, but I think it took like several months or to get in to see him. And then I ended up seeing him, and he sent me like a test kit to do the whole blot test or whatever it is for Lyme disease. And one of the things was positive. one of the blots was positive and one was borderline or something like that. So yeah, that was how I got a positive test result.
Okay. Do you,
it was like, I think it was a test kit I used at home and then you sent it off or something.
Okay. Do you know, I know here in the States, we use Igenix out of Palo Alto, California. And then my second favorite lab is Armin Labs in Augsburg, Germany. Do you know where this lab was that you were sending this?
I think it's called Infecto Lab or something like that.
In Australia?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And so it came back and you were positive, borderline on something else, but positive for that. And then yeah, it was probably a little bit of a relief, right? Like,
well, I was positive for borrelia, for one of the blots on borrelia.
Okay.
And a bunch of other co-infections.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So were you relieved to finally get a diagnosis, to know that it really wasn't in your head?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then so how did your Lyme doctor attack it? What was kind of his protocol for it?
Well, his protocol was mostly antibiotics. I also saw a naturopath who wasn't actually a Lyme. Well, he was Lyme literate, but he wasn't, didn't specialize in Lyme. He did all sorts of things, but I saw him and he, used herbs and stuff like that. And the Lyme doctor just used antibiotics, but, you know, I didn't really take them a lot of the time because it used to cause incredible sort of, Herxheimer reactions and stuff like that. So
the antibiotics did, and they were oral.
Yeah. And the herbs as well.
Okay. So
yeah.
So you've got your Lyme literate doctor prescribing antibiotics, and then you've got your naturopath prescribing herbs, and you're
yeah,
saying that you kind of just on your own didn't take them regularly because of the herxing, which is, you know, and
yeah, that, it was really bad. It would make me really just feel really agitated and stuff.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
And so did you talk to them about that? Because, you know, that's a big thing when we're killing things off is having that herx. And, you know, sometimes some people, we already think we're dying and then we have a herx reaction and then we really believe we're dying, you know.
Yeah.
What was their response to that? Did they tell you to push through or just slow down, or were they, you know, responsive to that whatsoever?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, it's hard for them to understand herx reactions, I think, because it's sort of specific to Lyme disease. But I didn't really like them, but the sort of Lyme doctor sort of was saying that it's just part of what you go through with it, so you have to sort of go through it, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I didn't really...
Yeah. And there's a lot of, you know, mixed feedback I've heard over the years about what to do when you're herxing. You know, there's some doctors that say it's part of the process. You've got to push through it. There's other doctors that say, you know what, let's back off a little bit. Let your body kind of catch up to it. And I do believe that part of our healing process, you know, we kind of get worse before we get better. And I'm okay with that. But I believe, you know, like Dr. K believes, that you don't need to push through that miserable herx. Let's adjust some things, make some changes, let your body kind of catch up to it. It's okay to get worse before you get better, but not a terrible, excruciating herx. I just don't feel that those are necessary to go through to get through this journey.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because... It's a long process and, you know, they're not nice to go through. So,
no.
Yeah.
So what was your experience with the herx? Was it just all the regular symptoms that you had just exasperated?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And that's kind of how mine were too. Yeah. But you know, everybody's different. So I always like to kind of ask what they are. Cause you know, for the listeners out there, some of them haven't been through one yet. So let's kind of prepare them what to expect. Right. So how do you remember what herbs you were taking, or was it a specific, you know, protocol? You know, there's a lot of them out here around in the United States, you know, like the Buhner protocol or the Cowden protocol. Was it a specific protocol that you remember?
Not really. It was just the specific herbs that target those bacteria. So the Borrelia bacteria and Bartonella and Babesia and all of that.
Okay. Do you happen to remember what the name of any of them were?
No, I don't know, because it was so long ago. It's like I've been symptom free for many years, and
I love hearing that.
haven't gone back to see those people, so I don't remember what I was taking, but it was stuff that specifically targeted that bacteria.
Okay. And then did you continue to do that cranial sacra through this journey?
I did, yeah.
Okay. And also, what other types of detox things did you do during this journey?
I didn't really, I used to do saunas and stuff like that, but I didn't.
Okay. That's a great form of detox.
I didn't really have a detox regimen as such. No.
Okay. So yeah, saunas are great. So how long were you on the antibiotics as long as you were on the herbs?
I was probably on the herbs longer, but I was on antibiotics for a while, or I don't know. I sort of took them sporadically and then sort of stopped because I was fed up with the Herxheimer reactions. So
yeah. So how long do you think you took them before you stopped?
Probably like, I don't know, a month or something like that. Not very long.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I sort of stopped it and went back to it a few times. But
okay.
Then I started looking for other sort of healing methods, I guess, because...
And what did you find? I love other healing methods. What did you find?
There was the craniosacral thing and... which really helped a lot. I found herbs helped sort of the best, much better than antibiotics. And the problem with the antibiotics is they kill all the gut flora, I think. So
yes, that is my thoughts too. I think it can do a lot. You know, there's a time and place for antibiotics, absolutely. And you know, if you're new to Lyme disease and you just got bit or just got sick, I absolutely think, you know, give those antibiotics a try, because you know that can put a stop to it. I think 8 weeks. But if you're chronic Lyme, I my opinion is antibiotics aren't the way to start, at least anyways. Maybe not don't do them, but it's not the way to start. Start another avenue, because when you bring in the antibiotics and it kills all your, you know, your good bacteria in your gut, you just open up to so many more problems, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So you felt more herks or more reactions from the antibiotics than you did the herbs?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Okay. And how long altogether did you do the herbs before you were completely done and completely better?
Was sort of on and off for a couple of years. I did them.
Okay. And when you say on and off, so maybe you do them for like a month and then stop for a month and then a month again?
Yeah, sort of like that, yeah.
Okay. And so that was for a couple of years, and then you were doing the saunas and the cranial sacra, and then did you just start feeling better eventually?
I don't know. After like a few years or after a long period of time, I the symptoms sort of started to go away. Yeah, I just felt better after quite a few years. And I was taking herbs sporadically, but yeah, the main thing that helped was the craniosacral stuff.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yep.
So did the Lyme doctor, did he retest you, or are we just going to base it on that that your symptoms go away, which is perfectly fine, especially since they've been gone for so long?
Yeah, I just based it on the symptoms going away. He didn't do another test, and he didn't even do a test for Bartonella or Babesia because he sort of assumed that I had it anyway, and he said the test will cost you too much to do. So
yes, that is for sure, for sure. So during this time of doing, you know, the antibiotics and the herbs, the cranial sacra, the sauna, did you change your diet at all?
Yeah, I did. I sort of became vegan pretty much for a long time.
Okay. And did that seem to make you feel better?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I mean, now I can sort of eat anything, but
I love that you just said that. Okay, listeners. So this is a big topic, I think, when we're trying to heal from Lyme, is our diet. And nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to change their diet. Nobody wants to give up, you know, the things that they love. But you just heard it from Aiden's mouth that he can pretty much eat whatever he wants now. So the diet change does not have to be forever. But trust me when I say it's going to speed up your healing process dramatically if you, you know, get rid of the inflammatory foods, the dairy, the sugar, all the processed stuff. Like, really clean up your diet, and it's going to make a huge difference in your recovery for sure.
Yeah.
So you just went, and I'm not super familiar with the different types of diets that, you know, I mean, they've got all sorts of, you know, all sorts of them anymore that, you know, whether you're vegan or paleo or I don't even know. How long did you do that? Did you just do it until you started feeling better?
Yeah, basically I did it until I started feeling better. And but yeah, I think the important thing is that to realize is that it's just a disease. Like, a lot of people get hung up on all sorts of different things about like aspects of treatment and things about it. But, you know, if it's actually gone from your life or it goes from your body, then you don't really have the symptoms anymore. So, you know, I used to have food sensitivities, but, you know, I don't anymore. You know, you can get better from it. It's definitely curable. It just doesn't seem like it is because treatment can be so hard.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely curable. That I can say for sure.
We can both attest to that, right? Because we're both better.
Yeah.
We're both on the other side of it.
Yeah.
So after your symptoms went away and you stopped your treatment, how was your mental health? Because as we talked, you know, a little bit earlier in the show, that I think once you heal from Lyme, then you kind of got to heal the emotional side of it. So were you just all okay once you got the Lyme out of your body, or did you do some therapy? How did you work through that part of it?
Yeah, I did some therapy, but I was definitely a lot better once the Lyme went. But yeah, I did do therapy and stuff like that, yeah, which helped, you know, with dealing with the emotional side of it. But I think, you know, some of it, I still wonder how much of it was emotional and how much was physical, you know. I definitely know there was an infection in my body, but yeah, it's, you can't only focus on the physical side of it, you know, you have to take care of your emotional health as well. Otherwise, you know, it makes it harder to get better, I think.
I absolutely agree. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And just your, you know, your mindset, you know, yes, we have an illness. We have one that, you know, that is not fun. It's tough in every aspect. It's tough to get a diagnosis. It's tough to get people to believe you. It's tough to treat because there's not, you know, one thing that works for everyone. But it, you know, you go through a lot mentally. And I think that we kind of need to get out of our heads sometimes, you know, that we're not just Lyme disease. Like we're human, we're going to go through this journey. We're going to do what we need to do to get better. And we're not going to let it, you know, decide the rest of our lives. You know, when we're really sick and going through this journey, we lose all form of hope, you know? And that's, you know, just one of the reasons we do this podcast is to let, you know, people like you share their story of, you know, how sick we were, what we went through. We get it. We understand where these listeners are. But we need these listeners to understand that they can beat it. Get out of your head, focus on what, you know, pretend like you're in the Olympics or something, a once in a lifetime deal, and just hyper focus on what you need to do to get through that. And do that while you're treating Lyme. And it's going to make a world of difference in your healing journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that helped me was music because I'm a musician.
Oh, and, okay.
I used to practice drums all sort of throughout the time I had it and used to, you know, well, I would be exercising a lot and then playing drums, mainly because I struggled to sort of play without, with all the symptoms, you know? Mm-hmm. So I used to sort of do that and then try and, you know, practice and stuff like that. So I don't know, it gave me something to aim for or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes. And, you know, there's a lot of studies done out there on just the vibrational healing from music and sound like that. Yeah. You know, what it does to our body and how it can help in our healing process. Yes, music was a huge thing for me because it was hard to watch TV at times because I couldn't focus on looking at somebody and what they were doing and also hearing what they were saying. It was too much stimulation for my brain. And so I would just turn on music where all I had to do was just listen. I didn't have to pay attention to anything else. I didn't even really have to pay attention to the words, you know, just listen to the melody of it. And I think too, that, you know, got me through some of my dark days as well.
Yeah.
So for the listeners out there, if there's just one, you know, nugget that you want to throw out there to them while they're on this journey, what would it be?
Well, it's that it's definitely healable, that it's definitely curable, you know, and make sure you take care of your mental health as well as physical health, you know. I mean, because you can feel gaslighted when you have this, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting therapy. And it's definitely curable, you know, it's just an infection, that's all. So,
yes, you know,
it's possible to... for it to heal.
That's good advice. Yes.
Then when that happens, the symptoms go and then you'll be fine, you know.
Yes, yes. So do you, just one last thing, do you do anything now? Are you still addicted to exercising? And do you do anything now to kind of maintain your health? Or do you feel like you're living a healthier lifestyle than you used to? And I mean, you were pretty young when you got it. So I know that you said your diet, you know, you can pretty much eat what you want. But is there anything that has changed since you've been, you know, prior to being sick than you are after being sick?
My life's a lot healthier. I'd nothing hugely drastic has changed. I'm just happier and, you know, more able to do things. But I don't really do anything to sort of maintain it. No, it's just the symptoms are sort of gone, and yeah, I'm basically all good now.
You're
So,
good. And you've been
yeah.
good for about 10 years?
No, I had this from about 2008 up until about 2019.
Oh, okay.
But around 2014 was when it was really bad. And then, yeah, after about 2019, it started to get better.
Okay, so it was
And
about an 11-year journey.
yeah, but yeah, I don't really have symptoms anymore. So,
Well, that
yeah.
is amazing. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Aiden. Well, gosh, we so appreciate you sharing your journey with us all the way from Australia. And, you know, like we mentioned earlier, I know when I got my diagnosis in 2008 after being sick for 7 years. Things are so much more progressed in the Lyme medical community than they were back then. And even so in Australia, it sounds like they've come a long way. So
Yeah.
don't give up. You know, the word is getting out there. Our voices are being heard that this is a real thing, and we need some help with, you know, diagnosis and treatments. And for goodness sakes, in Australia, we need some more Lyme literate doctors.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you sharing your journey with us.
No worry. Thanks.
Absolutely. Good night.
Information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.